Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Anthony Crum, and you're listening to The Unexpected Podcast.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm the world's most famous person in New Zealand, Lane Smith.
Wow, you are.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until today.
Anthony taught me a lot.
He taught me. Well, you guys both taught me a lot. I'm sitting back here wondering, like, that's a whole other world down there that I didn't understand.
It is. And apparently I am, you know, I'm no God. Not yet. Anyway.
Not yet.
Unfortunately. Well, no, fortunately for everyone.
But we brought a God on to talk.
My Lord, this was amazing. Mm-hmm. We did. A man of Numenor who, you know, when we find ourselves in the trilogy, in the Lord of the Rings books, I should say, that's what Numenorians were. They were these ancient, like, wow, how did they craft all these things? They must have been like gods, you know? And so, wow, what an amazing time we had. We just finished talking to him. We're recording this portion afterwards, and we can tell you this, guys, this is gonna hold up there with on par.
Yeah, oh yeah.
With Tammy, on par with Shane.
Yep.
Like, getting to know about Anthony and his background. I mean, he's like 10 years.
What is he?
He's way younger than us, I feel like.
I think he's the same age as Lottie, though.
Okay, all right. Well, we feel like old guys. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I will also say she's way younger.
I'll just say he's had a lot of really cool, different experiences in his life so far.
Yeah.
And just, like, he has such a wide background that he brings to, you know, the show in Middle Earth. And, like, I think there's a reason that he is, in like he said, maximizing the scenes. Right, yes. Because there are so many characters and there are so many storylines that you don't have tons of scenes as a character.
It's vast,
Right, but in the ones he's been in, they've been memorable.
Yes,
like,
they
even
have.
Before we knew who Anthony was, that scene where it was like, yeah, "I'll have my own ship in 10 years, 8 years, 18, maybe." This feels real. This feels like young Numenorians. Just like they're gonna go to the pub afterwards. They're gonna get drunk. They're gonna talk about, you know, you let that halyard go way too easily.
Right. They're gonna tease him about his sister, which I would.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, Imrahil's off the guard for sure. You know. Like,
that was hilarious.
If it wasn't his daddy who was running the ship.
But, you'd be gone. We haven't talked about that enough though. That was actually really funny.
Let that slip. That's what Isildur was trying to do. He was pulling a Imrahil move.
Yeah, he was.
But it was so cool to hear his story, to hear a Kiwi talk again too was a rush. I mean, that was really
were
cool.
I was sitting over here. I needed like an interpreter for a second. A
dictionary, yeah.
I didn't know what was going like
thesaurus.
What was it? It's a couple things. If you guys listen real close, you'll hear, like, I didn't know what a chur was.
Sure. Yeah.
I thought
I think a couple times he did nah. It's something that the Kiwis do. There's all kinds of things, and the vernacular is so cool,
just
the
little
dialect.
Little things, but
but it did. It was comforting to talk to him, and then even just to kind of talk about
learn about
Kiwi
their
culture.
Yeah, dude, that was the biggest takeaway. And so when you guys listen to this, I was honestly just like trying to catch up on in terms of like the names, the foods, and then sort of like just the background and stuff that he's like his background, and like you think about how far away they are, and he talked about like us and them, and then like how do you the acting school, right? Like this, this will all kind of come up later. Yeah. But it was just really, really cool to hear all of those things in his perspective, and then how that intermixes with other actors from different countries and the whole nine yards. Yeah. That was probably the coolest thing, and it just made me, I don't know, raised my appreciation and just my respect and like, I don't know, I love for this guy, you know? So.
No, I love him, too. It was like his kindness, too. He was I mean, because you never know, like, who you're... I mean, I figured if he wanted to talk to us, he wasn't going to, like, come in here and roast us. And he absolutely... But, you know, he's a comedian, so you never know. But no,
for roasting.
He was far too complimentary. He was down for roasting. It would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he was so complimentary. And then just his willingness to share stuff about his story and his path as an actor and as a person and his country even was really, really cool. And when you talk to people like that, they really like become like I have a true endearment for him. I mean, that was just like, it was amazing. I'll never forget him. I'll never cheer for Antimo, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it was enlightening, and it was just enjoyable. Like, that's when you think about running into people who are involved in things that you love, you want them to be exactly how he was.
And for sure.
And he was he did not disappoint in the slightest, and I feel better having talked to him. Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him again, hopefully. I mean, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
And to follow his career now. Like, that's the other cool thing. Like, in the same way that I always knew what Billy Boyd was doing.
Yeah.
But after we met him, I feel like I'm always on the lookout for what's Billy doing next. Like,
yeah, what's he up to?
Has
he
made more music? Well, like, what's going on?
Same with Tammy, right? When we follow her now, and it's like, what new show is she on?
Yep.
Right? And what's she working on?
Or, like, even
on?
What's happening in her personal life.
Shane,
like, you know,
the other
Shane,
day was,
the same
like,
way. I know.
Working on some, I don't know, video game set or something.
He's unreal,
like,
dude.
What?
Shane's involved in everything, isn't he?
He's a wild man. Yeah, yeah.
All the time. All the time.
But the connections, and just, again, to hear that Anthony sort of listened to those episodes, and then I don't know, all the tie back to the set, his whole story and Tolkien's story and all of it. And your guys' questions, by the way, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Thanks for sending those in.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was kind of on short notice. This was a quick turnaround for
us,
really.
It was less than a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. So.
Wait, what? Just a few days, wasn't it? Wait, when did we talk?
We did that. It was the Hobbit Hotline.
Monday.
But that was...
So a week tomorrow. It'd be a week tomorrow.
Yeah. But then
are we doing the hotline tomorrow?
We're doing it tomorrow.
Holy crap. That totally... Yes, we are.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
We've lost our minds.
We have.
We are...
Hopefully no Dark Lord comes and tries to persuade us, because we're very susceptible right now.
Yeah, I would...
That's when you got to be on guard most.
Amen.
That's what Tolkien taught me.
Hey, that's right.
That's what my parents have taught me.
That's why I got this code red.
My wife.
Drink over here. I'm on code red right now.
We're not being filmed right now, are we?
No.
You should do a little promo for that, because it's delicious.
It was delicious. It was
Mountain Dew Rise Energy Code Red. Go get yourself some.
Yeah,
so because we need to be on alert.
Absolutely, we do. Anyway. I swear by the calluses on my non-existent calluses on
my
hands.
Baby hands.
Anyway, this was cool though. So you guys are going to enjoy this, and again, just listen for the spirit and just all the cool insights into acting and stuff. It's fascinating. Honestly, great conversation. So. Without further ado, let's send it on over to Anthony.
Catching those churrs, man. This is crazy.
Sorry. Yeah, yes.
No, please. Let the Kiwi language fly,
Lane's
my friend.
Lane's on another level right now. He's losing his mind.
I actually told Sarah, I was like, I got to read his messages back to you, because I'm catching all kinds of nostalgia. Like, it's crazy. So I'm glad that you, I'm glad you're keeping that. That dialect is beautiful.
Yeah, I listened to, obviously I was listening to your podcast, and I heard that you went to New Zealand, and I was like, it's so strange to hear a person talking about New Zealand and like absolutely. I mean, it was so great, the things you're saying. It's so good.
Okay. I hopefully, because I loved it and I love Kiwis. So hopefully, it's not anything, you know, that's going to get me barred or anything. We love you. That's what T-shirt as.
You're a huge deal, actually. There's quite, there's the statues.
I knew about
that. They say Lane was here. You could do the Lane trail, actually. You can follow the route that you walked. It's called
the lane. It's something funny because you guys have so many one lane bridges, right? Which in America, unfortunately, unless you get down in Kentuck, as is homeland,
down
and parts
south
of rural Ohio,
that's
you don't see many
from New Zealand. You're like, a lot of one lane bridges.
Well, I had this realization, Anthony. I was like, I can never actually be on a one lane bridge. It's impossible.
I say, do you know there's a show called One Lane Bridge?
No.
It's a New Zealand show that just came out.
Okay.
And the antagonist is it's a detective versus a bridge. That's what the antagonist is.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Can you get me a cameo? Is there a way you set that up?
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe it could be called Two Lane Bridge.
Dude.
That's wild.
Oh shoot, man. Okay. All right. My voice just cracked. That's fine. Yes, but I love New Zealand. I can't talk. New Zealand's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
The people are incredible.
I need to go soon.
And I think we should open with this question. Yes, you do. You and Lottie need to get your bus there.
I'm down.
So I guess my first question is kind of had this at the end of the interview notes, but I just wanted to open with this. What is wrong with you? Right. Like we found out you said to us that you listened to us on the way to rehearsal.
Yes.
Is it because no other podcasts showed up, or like what was the reason? What was the genesis?
I started listening to some other ones and I couldn't tell you what they were.
Okay.
But I wasn't into it. I liked you guys, especially back then listening to it, and you guys were I was actually telling Alex about you guys at a Galandio. Coffee shop while we were waiting. We just done stunts or something. We did stunts out in Cumia, which is where a lot of the filming was done. And
wow,
we would have coffee together every day before stunts or after stunts. And I was telling him about you guys, and I was like, "Oh, that's like you're the English teacher you wish you had, you know?"
Oh, like, dude,
the way you guys like the weave with the metaphors, yeah, and talk about, you know, I remember you guys talking about like just the text behind the text as well. Yeah. Made me just think about, because I was trying to read the book by myself, and yeah, it was a bit of a slog for me because I'm not a huge reader.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd, but I'm not a huge reader. And having someone else read it and analyze it was nice. It was comforting.
Three's Company, right? I mean, that's kind of what Tolkien said, and he said it first, I guess. Three's yeah, Company, that's what we believe. So we were with you on your journey. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I was blown away when you told us that. I was like, this is wild. I proudly told my parents. I told Sarah.
Yeah,
I'm a little too excited about this, Anthony. Yes, but I was like,
right,
we were kind of involved in the production of the show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I played you while I was on the trailer on set.
That's so cool, man.
Your voices were heard in my ears.
That is so cool. That's so cool. All right. Well, listen, this kind of goes into what we're talking about. You're talking about sometimes the struggle of reading the book. And I think a lot of people feel that. Like that you see the movies and you love the films, but when it comes to getting into Tolkien's works, sometimes it's a little tricky.
Dude, it's just like, that first book. Like guys were geeking out about that first book, about how he spends like, you know, paragraphs talking about the deer.
Right.
In the first book.
The blade of grass and everything.
Yeah, the blade of grass. And I mean, you guys were like geeking over also I remember the donkey. And you're like, it's so nice that you find out about what the donkey does.
Bill the pony. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, pony. That's it. Yep, sorry, yep, pony. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was reading it. But I was thinking, yeah, I mean, it's cool. But what about those hobbits, though? It's like if you're in a film and you just panned to a valley for like 25 minutes in a very art house piece, you'd be like, but once the story gets going, you're like, oh, I'm so glad that we got a sense of the world and stuff. And
yes,
you feel Tolkien's love for the environment, and he's a tree hugger in the best sense of the word, I guess.
Yeah.
I think he like even had a favorite tree that
he used to talk to him, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's the Ents are a thing for a real reason. Yeah, he wanted to.
Yeah,
actually, exactly. Is it so cool? I know that you've been in a comedic interpretation or adaptation of Macbeth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Macbeth where the trees move, the forest walks?
Yes, and
it's
actually got you?
So he actually saw that the jettison for Ents and the march or the march to Isengard was that play, and the very first time he thought, oh great, the trees are going to come alive, and then he found out it was just people who were dressed up as trees, and he's like,
yeah, right.
And so that he was like, I'm gonna do this right someday. I'm gonna make the trees actually walk. So wow, that's, you know, a little connection to Tolkien there too. So I wanted to ask, what is your, we ask everyone that we talk to, and I mean, you've heard people write in their Tolkien stories. So could you tell us your Tolkien story, like when you first became aware of Middle Earth? What did you love it? Were you a fan as a kid? All that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, so for the longest time, my parents didn't let me watch things like Harry Potter Lord of the Rings. So I had no, even if I wanted to access it, I couldn't. My first ever experience of it is watching I remember being outside of a library at intermediate school in New Zealand, and obviously, I saw through a window. The librarian had a TV playing the second movie, and I think it was just a shot of like, I can't remember what it was, a shot of Minas Tirith or something. I think it was like a wide shot, and I was like, wow, what is that? And I sat down in the library and just watched it for half an hour, like no context at all, didn't know what this was. But it always stuck with me. I remember that those images particularly, and then it wasn't until later that I watched the films. And because I'm a Kiwi, they're so embedded
in your culture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my drama school teacher, I watched it in because my drama school teacher was one of the orcs. He like whips Sam, I think, at some point.
Wow.
Wow.
Anyway, so we watched it and we were like, there's Mr. Pollock. But I didn't I wasn't super nerdy about it.
Hold on, can I ask a question? What's Mr. Pollock's first name?
Robert. Rob Pollock.
Okay. There was another Pollock when I was teaching.
Yeah, there's more than there's not one in New Zealand, like.
Well, it's only 4 million. You figure how many Pollocks
there's
are there
seven.
Really? You
know, there's seven, like.
I bet he knows the Pollock I'm talking about. Though. That's the thing. You talk to Kiwis and they're like, "Oh yeah, my cousin was in it. I wasn't ever." Or I know that person's farmer, dairy supplier or something. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Man. Okay, back to your story.
But yes, he he was in it. He was in it, and we used to watch and look out for him. And then I didn't really watch it. My friends were super into it, and they'd be like, "Let's do a marathon of the movies," and I'd be like, "Okay,
yeah."
I love that.
They were just peripheral, and they were sort of for me. They were like, "Oh, the thing that was shot in New Zealand," and I heard really great things. And Peter Jackson was like this icon. Yeah. And then I got, they said that they were going to shoot Lord of the Rings in New Zealand, and I was like, I remember sitting on my bed and going, "I want to be in that so bad. Please, 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 give me an audition." And then I did an audition. Like a year later or something. And before the audition, I watched all three films back to back, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
It's too much. I think it was the direct. It was the
extended editions
as well.
Oh my god, Lord.
Yeah.
It's funny. Peter Jackson was on my flight. I went to the premiere in London, and Peter Jackson was on my flight. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to the premiere. He wasn't, but I remember thinking, I wanted to go up to him and say something. And the only thing I could think of was I was going to be like, "Hey, what do you reckon's longer, this flight or your film?"
Oh my God. I wish that would have happened.
That would have been the best line. Damn it. He would have loved that. So are you the one who ghosted him for this show? Like, is it you, Anthony?
Yeah, I was the one. Yeah, he
no
came
consulting
to me with
the
script role. And I
said, I thought, well, you know, got to get him off your back, right? Come on, granddad. We're trying to move on here. Just joking.
No, he's great. Where was I? Yeah. Where was I?
Flight to London, PJ. Oh, you hadn't seen him back to back to back. And you had, just had your audition.
Back to back. And then I did an audition. And I was like, man, this is such a cool world.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything back about it. And then obviously got it, and then I was forced to delve deep, like the dwarves. Yeah. I didn't know what my character was. I had no idea. It's so shrouded in secrecy. I barely know anything about the show because of that. I really only know my stuff. So when I got the role, when they said they were like, "You've got a role in an unknown Amazon project," and I was like, "Well, everybody knows what it is," but. Right.
That's how you.
I didn't know what character I was playing for ages until like.
That's how they told you. They said it was an unknown Amazon show that you got the role confirmed.
Yeah, it was like a thing in like the acting community. It was like UAP, UAP, UAP.
Wow.
But everyone was like, wink, wink.
Oh my gosh, that's the level of secrecy we've wanted to know. Hey, am I really muted? Am I okay?
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
Lottie, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. All right. Sorry, I just want to make sure that all this jabbering I'm doing is.
Could you imagine?
Because you know how gold. You know how Kiwis are going to respond when they hear this episode. They're like, "Let's put another landmark right next to Anthony's scroll."
That's right.
Because Lane Smith is here in spirit.
Somebody in New Zealand right now is scrolling everything you're saying.
So crazy.
Golden parchment.
So insane. So this is crazy to me because we had heard all these legends and rumors. Like we even did a bit way back when we were like trying to get into the room where Payne and McKay were writing, and we played the James Bond theme. Yeah. That one. And either too much coffee or not enough. I don't know what's going on with me right now. But we were like, it was a joke. We're like, it can't be that secretive. But so this level of secrecy, is it maintained even now? Like,
Dude,
do you know what's going to happen with the character?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
I sat down with the security dude, and he like put the fear of God in me about, and I talked to everyone else from the cast as well, and they were so scared. Leon Wadham, who plays Kemen.
Yeah.
This is gonna get him. This
son
get him
of son of Farazan, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. This won't get him in trouble, I don't think. But
we'll cut it if it does. We'll cut.
Oh,
it.
Oh no, yeah. I heard your last recent episode. I'm pretty sure he is the son. I think because he says son, right?
Yeah, he says.
See,
son.
Even on Tomo doesn't know.
But you know, the thing is, I'm always like, I don't trust with the secrecy and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, man. Everything shrouded.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinks he might be Sauron.
I see shadows everywhere.
But anyway, yes.
Anyway, yeah. I remember it was so shrouded in secrecy. Leon found out that I was also cast because he was he directed me in my first ever show in Auckland. He's like my mentor, essentially, my acting.
Wow.
Well, he's also he's just a friend. just a friend. He started off being my director anyway. He found out I was on the show, and you know on Facebook how you can like send messages that disappear, secret messages.
Yeah,
he sent me just the emoji of a ring, and I was like, "What?" And he was like winky face, and then he said, and then he sent me a message, and then he deleted it because he was freaking out about
keep it secret, keep it safe, for real, Wow.
It was so, and on set, like we all had code names for all of the for everything, basically. Yeah.
Your character even a code name as well? Well,
yeah, I had two code names.
Wow.
So I had everybody, even like the ADs were sometimes like, which one are you? Who are you again?
Wow.
Because with so many code names.
That's unreal.
It was really secretive. We got our scripts. We only got our scripts. We didn't get anything else.
Wow.
We were fed information.
How much contact did you have with other actors that, like, maybe your character didn't come in contact with? Like, did Morpheus Clark or Ishmael Cruz? Okay.
Heaps.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'd go to the gym with what's the fellow who plays Elrond? We did the gym with Elrond.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Robert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Owine went to the gym with he was pretty crack up in the gym. Alex okay. Obviously I spent heaps of time with Alex. Time with Miv, obviously heaps of time with Maxim.
Let me ask you, so as mm-hmm. as has this theory that Celebrimbor, what's his real name? What's the actor's name? Please, Celebrimbor.
Gosh,
I asked you on the spot. Ez is a huge fan, and Charles Edwards.
Yeah.
He seems to think that there's these rippling biceps and
Was he at the
fat
gym?
Pecs and just a six pack? Was he in there slinging around like a forge hammer or something? We gotta know,
dude. I did not see him at the gym, but he's got.
Is it because he has a trainer though? Is he a private gym?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
Ez wants a shirtless scene from him, and we can't really figure out why, but it's out there.
I can tell you who's a beast though. Is an absolute beast. Is Joseph?
Okay, we've heard about this. We've heard about the power of Joseph Maul.
Beast, and it's because and he's also playing the bad. You know, I didn't know who, but I just knew he was playing the bad guy. So it was me, Alex, and Maxim in the gym. We were like these Numenoreans, and him, and he's just like over there killing it. And we're like, we're like these little soldiers, and we're like watching this dude.
We're gonna fight this guy eventually.
Murder, and he looks like he looks like the epitome of death. He's scared. Yeah. I mean, he's a nice guy, but in the gym, just wow.
Wow.
And I couldn't compete. I'm like, I mean, Alex is quite fit. He's and Maxim's quite fit. And I'm standing over there, you know, barely getting through the workout. And this dude's like running in between sets. He's doing like twice the weight of us. He's like chiseled to the bone.
Wow. Oh, this is awesome.
Was scary.
This is so cool to hear, though. These are like this. So one of the questions I had, we can kind of like jump around, but it was about the, you know, as fans, we're like most of us are obsessed with the films, but not only the films, the appendices, right? We get to know the bonds that these actors and cast and crew all had behind the scenes, and the friendship that really comes through on screen. And we were talking when we saw, even when we had just seen trailers, you know, which again, even the lead up for the show has been very sparse compared to, and no leaks, not a lot of rumors.
Right.
It's all been very carefully planned and executed. Mm-hmm. And so like up until August, really, we were still thinking like, what's the tone of the show going to be? And we did follow a lot of, or as many actors as we could figure out, you know what I mean? On Instagram and see pictures from when they were filming to see if they were taking pictures together, if they were hanging out, if they're becoming friends, because we knew that would translate.
Yeah.
We knew it would translate to a good show. And so, but that's what we've loved about the trilogy is they became like a real fellowship. So hearing all these like snippets of how the three of you guys, three Numenoreans are in the gym hitting weights, right? Together. To hear that, like, you got competition, the dark competition across the way.
Yeah.
trying to intimidate you even then. So, and just it's really cool to hear like all these different like behind the scenes stories that you have that really make these projects for us as fans even
were
even
you guys
better.
Ever tempted, I know he's massive in the gym, but to like, I don't know, mess with him,
go
like
pull his shorts down or something,
steal his water bottle, you know, like the Numenor is over there, just sort of like mess it with him, you know?
Yeah, that's all we've got though. I mean, after that, I wouldn't mess with that dude. Would you mess with that dude?
No.
Seeing him in the last episode, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere near that guy.
I'd literally be calling him Lord Father, I think. I would just go, okay, Lord.
Yeah, me too. Yep. I'd be one of the orcs.
Whatever you say.
I'm Malise. Yeah. I'm not going out in sunlight again.
Okay. Yeah. So your Tolkien story is rooted just in the culture of New Zealand, right? I mean, like Lord of the Rings is everywhere. It's all around. I think it's incredible too. This is amazing. We always talk about real life connections to the story, right? That the first shot you remember seeing is Minas Tirith, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Who do you become cast as? A Numenorian.
I know. That's so
pretty wild.
It is kind of weird. I didn't think about that.
It's crazy.
Weird.
That's crazy. And not even just like, you know, a Numenorian that we don't get to know very well. You're one of these main three that we're going to get to, at least this season anyway, I'm thinking, get to know, that we are going to be emotionally invested in all three of you. And we only know Isildur is surviving. So I hope that like they don't break our heart with you and Valandiel, especially you. But like what a crazy thing that is your... That was your first memory, and then here you are now. Wild. Okay.
Wild. I really desperately wanted to be a dwarf.
Oh, man.
Dude. Oh, my gosh.
That would have been awesome, too.
What a beast. I mean, Khazad Dûm and, like, with the reading the bits about when they're traveling through there and Gandalf and that's the coolest part.
It is really cool.
Like, wow, what would the city be like? And I was at the time I was playing a D&D game and I was playing a dwarf and
so you were preparing for your role.
And I was like, this is before I knew what right, you know, what character I was. So I was like, I know, I'll get started.
I just got a feeling.
And then I was told, they were like, you're human. And I was like,
you're crushed, weren't you?
Great.
And then they said, you're kind of part elven too, in a way, because you're a Numenorian. I mean, you're a special.
Yeah, that's
human.
Right. So, exactly. I mean, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Said, yeah. I think the way they explained it was high human. And I was like, and then after reading the books, I was like, well, I mean,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're different. Oh, yeah.
Right. They think they're different, at least.
That's true.
But, right, right.
That's true.
They're so haughty. Or not all of them.
Yeah,
obviously.
They've kind of.
So that came to a realization of that, of who the Numenorians were. Cause I really know. When you read the Lord of the Rings, Aragorn's sort of like your like.
Touchstone, yeah. For what Numenorians,
he's almost like put up as the best of them, or like later on he represents them. So he's the only like representation that you kind of look to.
That's a good point.
On film characterization or whatever.
That's a great point.
So
yeah.
So yeah, looking to and he's so morally sound.
He is. He's not a very complicated character.
It's hard to imagine
what
they do later on when you compare that to Aragorn. But I guess he is the best of them, or he represents the best of them in some way.
Right.
So yeah,
we're getting inside the mind of an actor here.
This is pretty interesting. So I know we weren't allowed to. We're not talking about stuff that's coming up or whatever. But I do want to, since we're, there's this scene, and I always say her name. It's Imma Horvath's character.
Eärion. Yeah.
Right? Eärion.
Yeah. I felt like.
Do you end up with her or does Valandiel?
Like, all three of them were. Like, I don't know what was happening there. First, I thought like a Isildur.
Is the intimacy coordinator were they hired for you?
That was for the horse, actually.
Oh, wow.
You know when he comes in for the, you know, he comes in to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Give the horse a kiss.
That was well coordinated because I was like, coming for her. I was like,
right.
Had no clue. Yeah, I heard you say that, and that makes, I mean, I can see why you think that. You'll see. But Valandiel was sort of like, he's supposed to be this sort of, I mean, you see him, he's like, he's trying. He's out there trying.
My buddy Rob says he looks like a young The Rock. Dwayne Johnson just a few years earlier is kind of what, and I was like, wow, he does actually look a lot like Dwayne Johnson. Yeah.
He's on NCAIS Hawaii at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that. And I saw that you guys went to the same drama school. Were you there at the same time?
No, not at the same time. He was a few years ahead of me.
Older than you? Yeah, that's what I
thought. That a lot.
That's what I thought I had seen. So that's pretty cool. A little cool connection there. Awesome, so you talked a little bit about your Tolkien story. We've got a little some snippets of behind the scenes stories from the show. Mm-hmm. Would you talk a little bit more, if you want to, about growing up? I know that the Southlands are full of drama and danger, but thankfully Northland isn't. You know, and mm-hmm. so what was it like growing up in Whangarei?
It was. I call it the city of no shoes, because I never wear shoes there. I know it seems. I also seem a lot stronger when I get back there. I don't know why. it's
home,
great. It's I mean, everybody has a complicated relationship with the place that they grew up, I think. Uh-huh. Yep. And especially because it's a small town, it felt so constricting.
Yes.
But I loved it. I did love it. It was, yeah, it's I don't know. What it's quite, it's just small. It's just small. We what do? You go to the beach.
Yeah, right.
Hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
It's
it would feel very much like a small Numenorean town, I would think, anyway. I mean, there's another little connection with your character, I think. Like I was looking up pictures, and I know that north of Auckland there's not much, like in terms of like big cities, right? And I saw that Whangarei is the biggest or the largest city north of Auckland. And so I was like, yeah, so small rural area. But then, New Zealand just goes to a peak there. So it's all beach and cove and everything everywhere. And your hometown looks absolutely beautiful. So,
yeah. What the connection that I was thinking of when I started working on my character and the Numenoreans was the biggest thing is the isolation. New Zealand is so isolated.
Yes, it is.
That things become so insular and can get, So, and there's also like us and them, because we're so far away from that places in the world.
Yep.
You can kind of
underdog stuff too little bit, I think.
That too as well, yeah. But also like we are the best because we can punch above our weight or something.
Right.
So there's some of that in Numenorean where we're a rugby nation.
Yeah.
And we do well on the sporting arena. So we're very proud of that. In the same way the Numenoreans are probably proud of their technological advancements and their
naval savvy and all that stuff. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so a couple things. When I spent my first time in New Zealand, I was there for like 9 weeks. I did half my student teaching there in college. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, the weirdest thing was when I came back, I almost walked into a couple stores barefoot. And I was like, over here it's like you can't, that's a no-no. Like,
no, I know.
You get kicked out of places, no shirt, no shoes, no service. And I was like there, I was like, man, this is so cool. You just walk into the carry out with no shoes on and pick up some lollies. It's great. So, okay. Really, really cool. I love those connections. Even like you said, just pairing your childhood, where you grew up, to kind of what Numenor would feel like. That's incredible. All right. So, do you want to talk about some of your training? I saw that. So I did homework on you because I wanted to ask some meaningful questions. But the John Bolton Theatre School, is it in Sydney? Is that in Australia or is it in New Zealand?
It's usually in Sydney, but it came over for a brief stint into New Zealand. It's run by a guy called John Bolton, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's like a 4-month.
It's like a boot camp almost, right? I mean, I know nothing about acting, so I'm like, I want to see how he's trained, because he's a stand-up comedian, he's into improv, but he's also doing like a very serious like show, which has already you've worked in humor, but I was wondering, like, I saw that it was you walked away with like a clown expertise and there was something else.
Buffon, neutral mask,
yes,
clown and melodrama, as well as farce, I think we did.
And it's based on like a French actor.
Yeah, Lecoq.
Right, yeah. And so I guess what I wanted to ask that was, because it seems like that is all about like the approach to acting there is all about ensemble, right? And I've seen that you're a part of different improv groups as well. Bull Rush, which was most recent, right? So I wanted to spent some hours, so I wanted to get to know your background, because I'm very interested. And so I wanted to ask that kind of preparation and that mindset, especially I'm thinking like stand-up. Like when you're in stand-up, you got a limited amount of time. And if you don't nail it, you're getting like booed off in a lot of places. And so in your role too, like you don't have tons of scenes, but you have made them count. Like you have, one of the first things I remember from episode 3 was 18 years, maybe just that line where it's like, I'll have my own ship in 8 years. Valandiel saying, and you're like 18, maybe. And just that unexpected humor in just a very brief time, you stood out. So is any of that kind of training, has that affected your approach to this show or even future? Like, do you think it'll affect your future gigs? I'm sure, obviously it will, but like in what way, I guess, your preparation and your impact?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from that sort of training methodology for me is a term called complicité, which I'm probably going to butcher it, but for me means the way in which you work together as a team. It doesn't have to be necessarily verbal, but it's kind of like juggling the ball in scenes, passing it here, passing it there.
Wow.
Also, it's around like play. They call it play, which is like a concept where you're trying to be in a state of play.
Oh, that's so cool. Like children.
Great to learn. Maxim doesn't, I don't think he's trained at all, but like completely embodied this, which he, you know, there's some actors between takes and they're just goofing off and they're doing jokes and they're trying to make you laugh and to stay in that state of play.
Yeah.
That's Maxim to a T. Like he's really trying to be in that energy in the zone, even if he's doing a serious thing.
That's cool.
You need to be in that state to be able to be changeable.
Yeah.
And then if you're both in that state, you can do this thing called like complicité, which is where you're being responsive and playful and sensitive to each other in the scene. So that's the stuff that I try to take into my work. And you're right, there isn't a lot. We have to,
There's so many characters. There's so many characters.
Right. We don't have a lot of time, which is actually such a challenge that they gave us, where we have to show Isildur's friend group in these pockets of moments, which is so we spent time going like, okay, well, we haven't got much. What can we do? So there's a few moments later on in the show where I think we really nail that more.
I can't, because you've already built so much that I'm thinking of the scene where Maxim goes and kisses his horse instead of his sister. Thank God. You and Valandiel kind of disappear. And then this most recent episode.
And then,
Right. So, hey, we'll meet up with this later, baby. You know. Yeah. But then, like, also, like this most recent episode. Not even on the ship so much. I mean, the ship was an awesome scene. Like for him to kind of have this realization, look over at you two actually doing, you know, what you want to do, and realize that he doesn't want to do it, and all these different things, and then how can he get out of it? But then how you're implicated and you also, but that scene where you're kind of in the alley, right? You're asking for the chamber pot because you're going to be sick. Valandiel's talking about how Isildur, you've never earned this anyway. You haven't done anything to deserve this and you've burned all of our lives. Like, and then you're holding Valandiel back from Isildur. You're like, you're kind of like the peacemaker. So much, we talked about the power of the show, how much characterization is done. And how deeply, we didn't think we'd get to know characters this deeply at all.
Yeah.
And like in that scene, I feel like it encapsulates perfectly. Like we feel like we know you guys so well. And so it's a testament to your work. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw some fan art of us in
boy band. It'd be such a good boy band.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just have to, I think we just had to represent, types of friend, like I feel like you know that type of friendship.
Absolutely.
You've got one who's, you know, hot-headed, you've got another who's hot-headed, and then there's always, I always viewed my character as the mediator, or like, right, which I am in quite often in life. I am the come on guys, let's talk this out type of person. I'm
Awesome.
This is so cool.
That's what I was thinking, like watching you up there, just sort of I don't know, you're over there sick. First of all, like I was still concerned about you because I thought he was he's still sick, you know, but like, yeah, that whole moment is really well done. It pops over and then, you know, come on, guys, chill out or whatever. Yeah. Was that a right hook that came across?
It was a powerful swing. I don't know what he caught, but Anthony stopped some damage to that 8x10 on a sealed work.
Yeah, strong.
That would have been
strong.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Well, they're in the gym all the time. You know, that's what we learned today. You want to make gains like a Numenorean, you gotta go through the pains like a Numenorean. Okay, so I already kind of asked a little bit. I was wondering if you and Alex did go to school at the same time. You did go to the same, so, but you both are graduates from, is it Toi Fakahari?
Yeah, Toi Fakahari, and Leon as well. Leon as well. So he was.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay. And then I also saw that the actor who played Celeborn, Barton, I can never say his last name, Sakosh, is also graduated from that school.
Oh yeah. Oh, you mean from the OG? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, from like way back in the 80s or 70s or something. So the Galadriel's future husband, you know, in the trilogy anyway, also went to that school. So I thought that was really cool. I didn't realize he was Kiwi actually. So that's awesome. Oh. A cool connection. Can you talk about your time in drama school and what that was like? From a student's perspective. Yeah.
Drama school is like so intense. I think what I mean by that is you change a lot because you're living in, it feels really insular and everything feels really meaningful. Like, is this going to help my, you know, career? Like, what methodology should I use? And you're watching, you're like introduced to all these methodologies like Lecoq and, Meisner and all these kind of ideas that actors love to talk about acting so much, so there's obviously tons of things to like wade through to work out what actually works. But it was great, but also it was a New Zealand drama school, so it was very like
centered around
influenced by te reo, by Maori framework. So we spent a lot of time on the marae, and we learned about kind of their approach to group, which was amazing.
Wow.
And you know, we'd meet every Monday and Friday. I was like the goody two shoes in a way. I won a scholarship because I was a goody two shoes.
Wow, that's awesome. That's right.
Because we met every Monday and Friday at this thing called Koiwi, which was sort of like a meeting of the school, and we would talk about anything that the school needed to talk about in a very kind of artistic collective
and almost kind of almost like a spiritual approach in a way, I would think.
Absolutely, yeah, very much so. And I would often help run those sessions and plan those sessions and things, and it was a lot, not only acting but also
on top of that,
how to be in group, you know, what can you bring to a group process, especially in New Zealand, because you have to make everything yourself. We have to it was one of the reasons why Lord of the Rings, the original movies, were so great to hear about, because it had that kaupapa of everybody pitching in. Like, it has a big budget, but it felt like everybody was pitching in. You hear those stories about when they were shooting, what was that big fight with Helm's Deep, is it? Yeah, Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
That you hear these stories, you know, that it was like hellishly hard, but people would play guitars. I remember Shane Rangi. I remember listening to that, and I was like, that sounds so cool. And that's kind of what it felt like at Toi Fakahari as well, where everyone's pitching in to make things happen. That's the sort of spirit that Kiwis bring to art and to work. It's of a let's get it done, you know, number eight wire. How can we make this work?
Yeah, the stone soup stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's something that you, when you go and you live there. It's so I found the insularity, to use your perfect term, sometimes it was almost I think I talked about this a few weeks ago. I said New Zealand is the closest you can get to heaven without actually dying, because it's just it's so beautiful and picturesque, and even that mentality of we're going to help each other out, but then paired with and that huge pride paired with short poppy stuff, right? How those two things kind of balance each other out and connect. Because I got so when I went to my school, I got a lot of flack for being an American, and everyone was like, "Oh, we know how you guys are. We've had American student teachers here in the past, and they always end up being pricks, you know. And so you're gonna be that too." And so
I feel like part of it is also testing to see whether you can handle.
That's exactly what I felt, because by the end, I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna prove that I'm not not all Americans are like this. I know a lot of us are." A lot of us are, but not all of us are. And so I really felt like this onus to earn their respect. And it was something, I think one of the things that Kiwi culture does so well is it really forces you to find your humility and to check yourself and to say, you know what, like, okay, there are a lot of great, and we, as I talk about this all the time, we love to self-evaluate. We love to, because we don't ever want to become people who think that we have it all figured out in our own personal lives or in our career or whatever, even on our own vibe of podcasting. We always want to make sure that we are looking at things in a very real perspective. And I feel like the Kiwi culture is big with that. And honestly, very helpful. I mean, if you talk about the sports world, right, with the All Blacks, and you got Richie McCaw and Dan Carter sweeping out the sheds, you know, like the two greatest rugby players in the history of the game, arguably. And they're the ones, when they leave practice, when they leave the match, they're the ones making sure everything's tidy and better than they left it. Yeah. And so I did feel that pervasive energy, which was awesome. Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, because we do have that in spades, but on the other side of the coin, we are humble to a fault. There's something I really struggled with. I had a really hard time on set, particularly with this thing that you're talking about, where I would be too scared to speak up for things that I knew would help the scene and scenes. Wow. And I would be too scared to bring my voice forward. And then being with Americans and around the Brits in particular, they are so much more easy, so much more easeful about asking for things that they want.
Yeah.
So if they need they need this or they think this will help the scene, they will just ask for it. But because I've got this, I don't know, it gets in the way, this like humility. It's just like, oh no, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's fine. So it's where I do. I'll just do it however they want. I'll stand in the dark. I'll be on camera. I'll be at the back. Actually, no, I'll be sweeping. I'll be sweeping with Richie McCaw. So it really gets in the way. And one thing I learned, especially from Alex, because he's kind of bridged these two worlds now. He's been in Kiwi stuff, and now he's in like really big American things. And watching him navigate that world while still keeping his humility and care, he was like one of the most loved on set, because he's such like, he takes time to be with you, and he's so humble about things, but also speaks up when he needs things, which is something I really learned from him.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And Maxim and Lloyd. So on the other side of the coin, it can get in the way.
But
we can learn from Americans and Brits to step forward and make our voice heard, because we do have value.
So you're saying that our nations have the perfect relationship.
Greatest country in the world, I reckon.
Mutually beneficial relationship. The Kiwis
and
the Americans. Right. I mean, it's just the best. We bring out the best in each other.
That's right.
So I wanted to ask about the energy. So you're talking about the energy of the movie, right? How it was this kind of, like you said, number eight wire, stone soup stuff, like everyone pitches in. Even like one of those infamous stories when they had to film one of the scenes and they had the squash court in Queenstown, and there was a bunch of flooding and they had to move away from the scene, and it stayed as a set for like, in this hotel, it stayed as a set for like a year. But the company was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, problem. Leave it up. It's kind of a problem, to be honest, but it's okay. It's not a deal. It's fine. You know, we'll remember it, but it's okay. So to like the show, does the show have the same energy, or do you think the show feels, I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But like, it feels different to me, like there's the same kind of collaboration and team mentality for this show that we saw in the films. So that doesn't always come through in TV shows and movies.
Are you saying in this one?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was. It had Kiwi crew. The crews were there, and some of them had worked on the original series.
Oh, that's cool too. Yeah.
A lot of them actually. So just sitting with them and having a yarn about their experiences, like I met the guys who played the Uruk-hai, and I fully had like I was like, oh, this is the Uruk-hai.
Wow.
And they were my stunt, like they were my stunt trainers, and I was like,
oh wow.
I was
like,
what scene were you in? And they were telling me like they were carrying the hobbits and like,
oh my god. Oh wow.
I was like, no way, this is crazy. But yeah, it did have that sense. Yeah, it had some of that sense. And I think I got some of what I was looking for when I heard about those stories of the original.
So, for me, I've not really heard that, like, I don't know much about that, you know, culture or how this, so this is actually fascinating to kind of hear this, really, truly.
I've told him before, sometimes he's, you know, prepping for things, he's on his phone, I'm like, Ez, are you listening to me right now?
Yeah, I'm always honey, still making sure that we clicked record,
that's true, like, he's sweating the technical stuff, and I'm over here having a yarn, you know what I'm saying?
Like, he's like Gandalf, you know, when Gandalf in the film, he's just always looking off in the distance, and people are talking to him.
He's a farseer.
Sometimes I disappear, you know, like, physically and mentally, same time. But no, it is, because I actually am glad you said that, though, because I would never really have understood that about the different cultures and asking for what you need on set and how that can influence you with other actors and stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, that's I don't know. It makes me kind of want I want you to I kind of want to root for, you know, Kiwis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because like I said, there is like a lot of value, a lot of things that you can kind of add to the scene or whatever. And to hear that, I think is really cool. I think for a lot of our listeners, that's going to be something kind of maybe unless they're from New Zealand, right? You know,
right.
But that we might not think about.
Know about.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or totally.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to switch things up a little bit here. Moving away from what you're currently doing to, well, I mean, you are currently doing it right now, but the show, I mean, what's like stand up? Like you said, you're in Austin actually to get a different flavor of comedy to kind of break out of the Auckland circuit. But what is stand up like in Auckland? Like, what are some places that if any of our listeners are going to be going to New Zealand, they'd be able to catch you at in a stand up? And then just what, like more of your comedic process, I guess, that is makes you really unique.
Yeah. If you're in New Zealand, definitely check out the Classic Comedy Bar. It's like one of the best.
That you're like probably, home place?
That's home my club. Home. Yeah, that's my home club. And it's like one of the best clubs, probably, I think, in the world, because everybody from the world comes through and goes, such a great place to play. And New Zealand audiences can, they're their own particular flavor of audiences. They can be, because, you know, that humility thing and the sort of reserved thing, they can be hard to crack out of their shells as opposed to some other audiences. Quite often you'll get silence as opposed to heckles in New Zealand. Which
that'd be even worse, honestly.
Sometimes. You're
explaining so much about maybe my jokes that didn't land there. So that's what was going on. I thought they didn't understand my accent. Okay, thank you.
That's your jokes. It's unique. New Zealanders' comedy scene is very boutique, obviously, because there's not a lot of comedians and there's not a lot of audiences to support them. So we have a handful of because of that, actually, going back to the other point about the community vibe, it does feel like everybody helps each other out and is on each other's team, because there's no point being competitive when, you know, you know and work with everybody. It's so, it is a really lovely scene to grow and develop. It's a little bit difficult because it's not as much competition as other places. So it's hard to feel the urge to grow, which is partly why I'm heading out into other places, to try feel that sense of the competitive, you know, the competitive nature of stand-up. But it's, I love it. I love stand-up. It's my dream would be like keep acting to make money and then in between do stand-up as much as possible.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
that is. Would you ever like, because you're gonna say, of course, Lane, there's other comedians in New Zealand, but I get like major Rhys Darby vibes from you.
I was talking to Rhys Darby actually recently. Okay.
Short Poppies is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Oh wow. Yeah, he's
Terry with the Legs 11 stuff is I want the shirt that says only the paws. So doing the stand-up, would you ever want to, if you were offered the opportunity to, or you took the opportunity to make like a comedy series, would you ever do something like that? Like comedy in television, your own sketch show or like character based or anything like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that something that you're working on, like, constantly as a comedian when you're writing and stuff? Like, this would be a good bit for a show or something? Or
yes, absolutely. My phone is full of, like, half-joke, half-ideas, funny little sentences that people say on the street. Like, I heard a lady come up to a table not too long ago. She's like, "You're not talking about me, are you?" And I was like, that is such a funny way to start a conversation. So I just, like, wrote that in my phone. So my phone's just full of just really weird, like, non-related stuff, and I kind of put them into things. But yes, sketch. My improv troupe. We're working on, like, developing a sketch thing.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I'm constantly working on, like, comedic ideas and, you know, pitching for. In New Zealand, you have to do it all because the scene is so small. So you sort of have to be across these multiple platforms in order to survive at certain levels.
So can you tell us about Bull Rush? Is that something that's ongoing? How did you guys find each other? What is it all about?
We started in the pandemic after we watched Middle Ditch and Schwartz, which is a Netflix improvised, like, full-length, story play thing that they did. Okay. They released it over the pandemic while we were in lockdown. Yeah. And I messaged my friend who I knew was really into improv. I was like, "Do you want to start a troupe?" And we did. And
that's so cool.
And we've been working at it. And we just recently did a season of Bridgerton, a Bridgerton-inspired show.
Oh my gosh.
My wife just
Lottie's off camera, like, please. Her eyes just lit up.
Yeah. She's so weird, like, you know, scandals lots of love and romance.
Is there a way to access this stuff? Have you recorded it and put it in, it's on YouTube or anything? Or
No. It's with like live theater, it never translates. So, but you know, come to New Zealand, check us out. otherwise, we'll probably make a sketch thing and then we'll put that out and you'll get a little taste of it there.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it. This is awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm actually learning a lot about it. So, like, right now you're in Austin, right? Yeah, and you're going to go around. Are you just going to be, like, kind of, I guess, going in and open mics? Or do you go in, like, you have set kind of thing? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got some set jokes that I'm going to, if I can try to get up, I will try to do those jokes. But if not, I'm just going to watch what people laugh at here.
Yeah. Yeah.
What subjects are?
Wow, that's so interesting. Here? Yeah, like testing the market, kind of in a way, I guess.
Well, yeah, you have to see what open mics are such a great. It's such a weird scene.
Yeah.
If you go to open mic in any country in the world, I reckon you get a good sense of who the people are that live there, what they find taboo, what they talk about, what they love in their life, what they're constantly, the references are often a good indication to the people that live there. So that's the sort of thing I'll be watching when I go to watch open mics here, a little bit more incognito, and then hopefully I'll get on stage and try some stuff.
That is so cool. We'd come watch for sure. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we actually have some questions from listeners. Is that cool if we do some of these? Okay, so the first one's from my wife. It's from Sarah Goldberry. Now, I asked my mom and my dad. I said, if you could ask a Numenorean, all right, we're talking to Anthony. If you could ask a Numenorean anything, what would it be? My dad didn't know what to say. He was like, he went on this whole, like, tangent. He was like, well, I would have to ask him, you know, but he would, you know, I would need to know. It ended with, I would just have to talk to him. I'd have to talk to him. And so I was like, Dad, so what am I supposed to ask him? He's like, you'll think of something, son. Just whatever you would ask him off the cuff, that's what I would ask him. So he was like, he would love to just talk. He was like, I don't even know anything about acting. I don't know what it's like to be an actor. You know, when we told him that we were going to talk to you, he was like floored. He's like, this is so cool. So he would just love to have a conversation with you, but I can't provide that right now. But so
get Sarah, him on.
Yeah, that'd be, I know he needs to come on. We'll do a part two or something. So Sarah wanted to ask, what's your favorite pie? What's your favorite lolly? Mince and cheese. Okay, I'm a mutton guy myself, but mince and cheese is the classic, right?
Disgusting.
Yep.
Disgusting. Yep.
I know it is. It's pretty good. It's very gamey. I also like the fish pie too, which I've also heard is probably not the favorite.
But I've just heard. I've just got a message. They're tearing down your statue.
No, not the statue. Oh,
they're burning all
the trail.
Documents. Oh. There's gonna be no sign that you were in New Zealand.
Oh, mutton and cheese. It's mutton and cheese.
Any street that's called Lane is being changed.
Oh, renamed a boulevard. Dang it.
No, bits of cheese all the way. I don't know. There's no other answer.
Do you put ketchup or tomato sauce on it or anything?
If you have to, it's a bad pie.
Attaboy. Okay. All right. Now, what's your favorite lolly? Favorite candy?
Spinning tops or pineapple lumps. I went through a stage where I ate like an entire pack
so
of pineapple lumps.
So good. I'm over here looking all these things up right now, guys.
Do you like Whitaker's? Of course you have to. What's your favorite bar?
Oh, Dark Forest or just dairy, the dairy one.
Do you like the Hokey Pokey one? Because I know a lot of Kiwis probably don't. It's like a thing that I can get that is nostalgic.
No, I don't. Okay. But I can understand the other Kiwi. Yeah, I can understand that it's popular. But yeah, wow.
What an American, right?
No.
Okay. All right. So mince and cheese. Oh, I wanted to ask. Yes. Just had this thought. Explain to Ez and Lottie and everyone else, even Sarah, because Sarah didn't have one. Explain a feijoa.
Oh my God.
They're amazing, like tangy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great. They're tangy green fruit that during summer they would grow, and every time I'd walk home, I would steal them from the trees in the people's backyards, and they taste so good. And you can mash them up and make it like a feijoa. I say it weird. I'm the only one who says it feijoa. No one else says that, by the way. But I think it's feijoa that people say that. But I think since I was a kid, I called it feijoa. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You can put them in like feijoa crumble. Mm. They're the best. If you haven't had it, they're literally the best. They're my favorite fruit.
Are they kind of hard on the outside? I'm looking them up right now. They look kind of hard.
You dig right in. I've seen kiwis eat them.
Wrinkly. Imagine a wrinkly bit of skin that's green.
I can do that very easily. I've got plenty of them.
I was going to say.
I don't want to say it, but they are sort of like that.
So even New Zealand's best tasting fruit, maybe the world's best tasting fruit, is an homage to me, which is, again, that's very confusing.
Wow, dude.
I've told Sarah when we were there, we went back for our honeymoon too. So I was like, I got to take Sarah. She has to experience New Zealand. So we went it was summer here. It was winter in New Zealand, right? And so there weren't feijoas anywhere. And I was like, that was my biggest disappointment. It was like, I didn't get her to be able to try a ripe prime.
Oh man.
In my mind, unless it's just my memory tricking me, it's the best fruit I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I agree.
It's the most delicious. And the smell, when the smell hits you, when it's coming off the trees.
Sour? No?
They're tangy.
Yeah, but there's a sour kind of like, tangy is a better way to say it. It's pleasant sour is what I would say. They're beautiful, man.
Dang. So good.
Okay. All right. Let me see.
Now I'm hungry for feijoa.
I know, right? Long flight home, my friend. All right. My mom, Denise, has the next question. She, of course, has like 45 of them because she couldn't pick just one. She wanted to know, as a Numenorean training for your ship to be a seaman, were your sailing scenes, were they on an actual ship on the water, or was it a set? What was that? Was that a practical thing, or was it?
This was so intense. This was the most intense set that I was on.
Okay.
The ship was on this huge dolly, and it rocked back and forth.
It wasn't intense. It wasn't a wet.
There was no water, and they had water cannons bursting out. So
the
water is, I think, CG, and then the whole boat is on this like platform. It was this huge platform, but it's the size of a boat. Like the boat's. Like,
yeah.
Right.
It was, and then the water cannons were going off. It was so intense. It was wild.
See, I would love to all the haters out there who are making up things to not like about the show. They're like, oh, see the CGI, it's so. And the whole time we've been like, I must be a simpleton then, because I can't pick, like, even the stuff I know is CGI, I'm like, that looks real to me. So I really did think that was, you might be able to go back and see how it's a composition, right? How the water and the background is put in there, but it's very convincing. Okay, so it was on. Wow, that's incredible.
That's wild.
She also wanted to ask, did you have any, like, previous life experience sailing?
No, we're not. Okay. For our prep, we went on a boat with a sail, a sailing boat, I guess. Looked nothing like the ship that we were on.
Right, yeah.
But the guy kind of taught us some stuff around what we would be doing on the boat in terms of rope and,
Is that the problem, Anthony? Is that why we have so much trouble with that
halyard?
What's it called? A halyard? I'm like, they can't hold it down. This is going on. Yeah. Going on here, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a bit of fudgery happening there with what you actually do in a boat. Because
all I know is I could see the gym paying off this most recent episode. You were turning that wheel, boy.
Man, dude. Yeah.
Dang, I was like, Anthony's on it, fellas. Look out.
That was a fun day on set. Because running around and trying to do ship related things.
Right.
And
yeah.
They're like, okay, I'm gonna switch it up for this take. I'm going to like coil the rope this way. I'm gonna run over. It's just like, it's so like, for a man who's never been on a boat, I'm so confused.
I say you nailed it. I mean, I was impressed with how I never once look at those scenes and go like, these guys don't know how to say it. I was really like, they must have really gone out and done like practice with seamanship.
You don't hear any criticism in terms of like, these guys don't know what it's like to be on a...
That's I feel real like it says more about your ability to recognize sail-related things.
If you pay attention, none of my statues are at ports in New Zealand. They're not by any of the boat stuff. Even though Auckland is the city of sails,
it is.
I never got on one.
Right.
All right, so I do have a follow-up. My mom wanted to know, and I think this is a yes. I told her mom, I think it's probably his real hair, but do you wear wigs? Will you wear wigs? When will you wear wigs? Was your hair on set, was that yours in character?
Yes, that was my hair, but I do have a wig.
But this is for another purpose?
This was like, you know, just in case. Because I've cut my hair now, obviously. So,
oh, that's so cool. Okay, so your hair when you were filming is yours, but you have a backup wig in case you get a haircut.
It looks exactly the same as my hair. Same with Alex.
Wow. That's so cool. So it is a wig in the scene, you're saying?
I'm saying was my hair in the show, but they had a backup wig.
In case.
In case. And also for my my stunt people as well to wear.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Although I had a horse stunt person who wore my hair and looked exactly like my hair. And so I can wear that wig.
And was it like trippy seeing yourself riding a horse when you knew it wasn't yourself or something? Was that kind of weird? That would be weird.
They're still
working on my wig for the podcast. They haven't quite figured out how to get the hair right.
I'm supposed to be getting it done. I haven't got a wig for.
And I keep saying it's just a bald cap, but they won't listen.
It's my hair. It's my hair. My glorious.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. You do have beautiful hair, man. I mean, like those. My third child, Ruth, has all these curls in the back. And they spring up and go everywhere. And my dad calls her a little hobbit. And I'm like, she kind of looks like Ontamo too a little bit. All right.
I look like a surfer.
You do? Yeah, you got surfer vibes. Those blonde locks. Yeah, baby. Here we go. Damn. And you know, you're in West Auckland filming too, probably, right? Were you at Piha at all?
Yeah, I think That was funny hearing you guys talk about that on an episode. Like, what does this mean? That was like my first day on set, and I was like, I knew everything that you guys were talking about. It was so really funny to hear you guys talk about it.
So that shot they released of the clapperboard, and we were trying to see, people were like, is there a reflection anywhere? Or is there any kind of, what did they black out? I think I actually turned the brightness up to see if there was I was such a nerd. Anthony's in New Zealand just going, listen to these idiots. Like, what is going on here?
And like when they released like tiny bits of the map and stuff, and you guys were we were in on the world's
biggest joke. I mean, that's beautiful. Let me ask you this. Marcus wants to know, would you rather be considered one of the greatest comedians of all time or the greatest actor of all time?
Greatest comedian of all time.
Okay.
Wow. Like it.
Yeah.
That's where your root is. That's where your heart is.
Yeah. I mean,
I could be both.
Acting,
I mean,
I view acting like tourism. It's like you get to tour to a different world that you would never live, and that person's, you know, a life that you would never live. So, but you don't always want to be on tour.
Comedy is personal.
Truth. Yeah. It's reflective. Yeah, okay. You're providing a real, I love making people laugh. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. We've got so many quotes. So we have quotes from Tammy when Tammy talked to us. We have quotes from Shane that stuck with us. And I mean, you're giving us stuff that we'll always remember. This is awesome, dude. Okay. Tino wants to know, how did you get the part of Ontamo? We talked about that a little bit. I guess maybe you could even talk about the realization. Well, you did. Well, you know, you wanted to be a dwarf. You realize you're going to be a high man. Could you talk more a little bit about kind of the lead up to filming, maybe, or some things that you're allowed to.
Well, as I say, it was shrouded in mystery. So I just kind of had to go quite wide with my research. So I obviously I looked up, I started reading the books, and I was like, oh, and it helped. So I started listening to you guys, and that was really lovely. And then obviously watching YouTube, you know, videos about Silmarillion and Unfinished. Everything I could get my hands on, basically. And then as we discovered more about our characters, I was kind of narrowing in on things that would be more useful. And also, honestly, the funnest, the stuff for me that was hardest was all like the sword training and the training.
Yeah.
The physical training. Alex, he's like a dancer. And he has done MMA, but he did MMA previously. So he's like this really gifted mover. Send me. I remember we did like a sword test or like a test to see how capable we are physically. And he was like, oh man, he was like a warrior straight away. And I'm was it a one? And you kind of come across like this. I'm sorry, it's this way.
It's a comedic approach. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what it is.
To bring diversity to the fighting scene, man. That's what it is.
So that was all fun leading up to the role, but it also helped me come into the feeling of a Numenorean, how they stand, where their weight is.
Yeah.
So Anthony's kind of, he can't tell us, you know, anything moving forward, but essentially I'm imagining him with the sword staring down Sauron. What's up, dude? What's, you know,
Ez and I are really,
I
know you can't. Yeah. Don't.
Ez and I are really hoping we don't see you die. Like we want to see you for 5 years. Like we want to, for season 5, we want Anthony to be like, I've got 2 personal invites for the premiere finale in London or New Zealand or wherever it is. And it's Ez and Lane. That's what we want to be like, bro. We've seen you through this whole thing. But anyway,
That
was from Tino. That was an awesome question. Tino's got great takes. So I want to give him credit for that one. Amanda wanted us to hear your Tolkien story. So got that. Beautiful. Sophie, again, asked if you read any of the books beforehand. So it sounded like more like as you got the role and preparing, trying to read some different things and then listening to us, which again, wasn't helpful. Then you probably went on to Nerd of the Rings, who is very, very good with his YouTube videos. That's the way to do it. Now, she has a question I know you can't answer, but we're going to ask it anyway. This is for you, Sophie. Is Hallbrand Sauron?
Her question, don't say it. I mean, yeah,
I
can't
look. I know what you know. I know what you know. Okay. That's you know how it was so shrouded in mystery. So I only know my things. So I don't
that's
know.
That's
That
so
sounds
sorry.
Like most. That sounds like most Numenoreans, honestly. That's amazing. I mean, in real life. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because it had to be. I mean, it has to be. Yeah. You know, like this is the whole suspense around the internet. The whole buzz is sort of like, even just Sauron, but like everybody. You know, all these new characters. What's going to happen to different people? Yeah. I mean, it's the hype is unreal for this show.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, it's just a viewer. I'm like, I'm trying to work it out myself as well. I don't know.
Oh, that's
either.
So cool. That's awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Macy wants to know, what's your favorite part of the filming process? What was your favorite area to shoot? And then your best memory on set?
My favorite part of the process probably was... Oh, yeah, probably the boat stuff. Because we did this... you know, you're on set for ages. And... So I started playing this game with the stunts guys. They were a part of they're the sailors. They're the extras doing all the stunt work on the boat.
Yeah.
Started playing this game where I just between takes, I would steal their dagger out of their belt, and then it became a game. And like we would get you get a point for every time you steal a dagger out of this scabbard. And I was the best at it. Like I'd ask an extra to walk over to them and be like, hey, what's that over there? And then while they're looking, I would take it out.
That's awesome.
Or I'd come in for a hug, or quite often what happens, their costume would be adjusted. So they have to put up their hands like this. And I would come in and I'd pretend to be another costume hand. And then while I was doing that, I would take it out.
Gosh, dude. What's your highest number? How many daggers did you ever sweep the whole ship?
I got up to like 15, I think. It was Riley and Matt who were the other, were the main stunties I was doing it for. And it escalated so badly. There was a scene. I was like, I bet you I can take it out during a take. And then there was like a scene. We're completely in the back, so you don't really see us.
We're going to have to look for it now.
And he was like, if you do, I'll buy you dinner. I think I'm like going in for a hug on Valendi or something, and while I'm doing that, it might be on screen. If they cut it in, it's there. And just know that I got a free dinner from that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
And not to tie back to Hallbrand, but that's kind of what he is known for. I don't know. Is Ontamo and Hallbrand, are they related?
That's true.
Is he going to use Ontamo to infiltrate
Numenor? I'm sensing a future scene or something. I don't know.
Darkness, baby. I love it. That's 15 is impressive. I think that's, again, another t-shirt. 15 daggers. You know, sounds like a band name or something.
We're coming up with so many t-shirt ideas.
We're going to have an Anthony t-shirt for sure.
Yeah, I love it.
So our buddy Cam Hansen. Cam is he's a videographer. He's a cameraman. He's into independent film here in Ohio. He's got a lot of short films he's done. He actually, Anthony, I don't know if you've seen it, but we have kind of a commercial short film that features both Az and I.
Yeah,
it won some awards, mostly in New Zealand, so you probably wouldn't know about it. I think the Forthright Award, the Stolen Dagger. It was nominated for a Stolen Dagger.
Congratulations!
We're very proud of it. Yeah, well, you know, again, humility. I didn't want to bring it up, but you asked me, so we're very proud of it. But Cam was the genius behind it. So, in all seriousness, we had this fun idea to do a commercial for a candle company, and then Cam like indulged us. It was hilarious. It was a lot of fun, and we had a blast. But he wants to know, can you get him a job on season 3? He wants to be...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely, mate. Okay. Slide in my DMs. We'll see what we can do, eh, right?
There it is.
Let's see. Okay. This guy knows.
If anybody can make it happen, it's Anthony. So, Cam,
Can he play a horse?
Only the back end, I think.
Okay, well, that's perfect. That's the side we need.
Wow, what did we sign Cam up for right here?
You go, Cam would hop on a plane
he set up a tripod, and he is honestly doing his own audition tape right now.
I'll tell you what, if he's wearing a scabbard with a dagger, that dagger is mine, I'll tell you that much.
There you go. I think he would settle for in front of the camera, not even behind. I think he would.
Wow.
He wants a piece of this. Yeah, he wants a piece of the action. All right, and Lottie's got a question. Does she want to? Is she going to pop on camera here? What's happening?
She just typed.
Oh, come on!
She's listening over here on the side. Okay. This experience. But no, she wanted to know whether Lane's always talked about New Zealand. I'm sitting here learning so much about Kiwis and culture and all that kind of stuff. We've been wanting to go, but when's the best time to go? Where should we go first? Any recommendations?
Dude, come in summer, eat a feijoa, then come to one of my gigs at the Classic. Then go to one of my improv shows, and then go to Whangarei, take your shoes off, walk into the supermarket, live life,
and buy a feijoa.
She's taking notes. Like, okay, all right, summer.
Auckland. So, isn't Auckland amazing? I was blown away by Auckland for it to be such a big city, and then to be so close to. Like the Waitakere Ranges are right there.
Yeah.
And you go up north and you've got all those little batch locations. You go down south, you feel, honestly, you go down to like Hamilton area and you feel like you're in Ohio. So I felt like I was never really that far from home when I did get homesick. Auckland's amazing. It's such a cool city. And like, there's all kinds of stuff there, and it's such a diverse place. And one of my favorite memories from Auckland was going across to Devonport to the bunker. And they have like a folk music club there, and it's in an old World War II bunker. And you go, it felt like going into a hobbit hole. And there's all these, there's like, you could tell people that are regulars, and these folk bands come up and they start playing, and the people are passing wine. New Zealand. I mean, sure, I think Europe is probably like this too, but you can BYOB to restaurants. You can bring in a bottle of wine, right? Is that still a thing?
For sure. Okay, be careful which places you go.
Not every fish and chips place. Okay, bye-bye. With this place, you could bring your own bottle. I was like, really? So you could bring your own bottle, you could drink it there, and it was like it was such a cool...
Bunch of heathens.
Atmosphere. I know, right? I know. Especially for our upbreathing. Sounds like Anthony's too. That was cool. But now we've joined them. But anyway,
Go to Auckland. Base yourself in Auckland, take your shoes off and apologize for something.
Okay,
that's probably the New Zealand experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome. No, we're gonna do that for sure.
Okay, and then I have a fan question as well. It's this one's from Lane. He's a longtime talker, first time listener. Wants to know what is wrong with the All Blacks, and also is Ian gonna be the first fired head coach? Well, not is, when? When will he be the first fired head coach of the All Blacks? And will they allow him to embarrass himself in a World Cup, or will it be before? Mm. Your takes on the current state of the All Blacks, yeah. New Zealand rugby.
Oh, God, bring back Richie McCaul. That's what I say. I don't really know much about rugby. I feel like a bad Kiwi. I don't really know that much. Are we doing bad?
No.
All I know is that my team, Ireland, came – my team, my nation, my motherland, Ireland came and won a series in New Zealand for the first time in time out of my – and it was Peter Omani who looked at – God, what's his name? The new captain. Oh, what's his name?
What? I can't help you. I'm so sorry.
It's terrible. I know his name, but I forget. Oh, geez. Sam Kane. Looked at Sam Kane, and this was – they were winning the second or third match. He looks at him and gets caught on camera. He goes, "You're a shit Richie McCaw. You know that, bud?"
Damn.
I was like, wow, the Irish coming and doing battle. And it was just amazing.
Richie
McCaw, blown up.
Richie McCaw is the closest thing to Aragorn that's
– Oh, he's – unreal, man. Right? Unreal. Legendary. Yeah.
I think I need to start watching him. Lane talks about him all the time.
Talks about all the time. See, Anthony just has to come in here and say stuff, and Ez will listen. You know, it's just – that's fine.
It's true.
It's okay.
This is why he wanted this so bad, Anthony.
I wanted you to win over the heart of my co-host.
Just so I could actually – now I'm going to go back and listen to our own episodes and be like, wow.
Lane was right. When a guy talks so much, you got to tune him out.
Just like Valandiel and Isildur.
Yeah. See? Wow. That's amazing, dude. All right, man. Is there anything else you want to talk? I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got to get out there and do stuff tonight, and you got to have energy. So, is there anything else you would like to talk about before we let you go? Or,
dude, not. It probably is, but
I just had a good time talking to you guys. I said, yeah. That means we're open for a part two. Here, so I'm hearing, you know, like,
Why not? Why not?
That'd be awesome.
If you guys want me back on after, I guess, because it's a bit hard because you haven't seen, there's obviously more my character. So it's hard because I can't talk about specific things.
Yes, been, we understand.
Right, referencing, which is, it's frustrating. And again, shattered in secrecy. But I'm excited to just watch more of the show because honestly, I'm seeing things like, oh, I didn't know that happened .
That's so cool.
And also, it's a different experience for me because I see people and I go, oh, there's Merv or there's Maxim, and it's so great. It's like watching your friends do new stuff. It's cool.
Probably it'd probably be akin to, I don't know, like in drama school, kind of know nothing about drama school, but like if you have big productions you're a part of and your friends are in some, you're in others, and you get to see them on like a one stage, one night kind of a deal. And that'd be really rewarding and satisfying.
The premiere was so great because of that. You know, everybody just cheered.
Yeah, and a big reunion too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anthony, this was an honor, man, having you from the bottom of our hearts. We can't thank you enough, dude, honestly.
Thank you, guys.
Like, we're definitely your biggest fans. I mean, I can't say that because, I'm sure you have some pretty big fans. But we are fully invested in Otamo, and we're in your career now. We will follow like nobody's – and now a bunch of listeners too. You know, all 15 of them are gonna follow your path in life, and we appreciate your spirit and your kindness and your willingness just to talk to us. Like, it's,
dude, you blew us away. Like in the chat, I was sitting there. I was like, almost like a full stop on the episode. I was like, huh? I'm sitting here like googling. Like,
I thought he
Lane
was joking.
Did not see the screen. He had no idea, like, the chat that was coming in.
Sarah was like, is someone messing with you guys? I was like, I don't think so. I said, until we talked to
him,
though.
That would be such a specific miss.
it would be like going for the fences and not knowing what pitch you're trying to go for. But, I mean, in my mind, we got Tammy Lane, we got Shane Runge, and we got Anthony now. I mean, like, this has been an amazing trilogy of interviews for us. And the cool thing is, I only knew of Tammy because – there was a connection with one of the music teachers at the NAS, the college I went to. Shane was because of my Kiwi mom. He's her nephew. And then
you hearing you talk about that, it was like, oh, that's cool.
It was so nuts. Cool. And then you finding us. I mean, like, we love when things just happen organically and naturally. Mm. And for us, like, this is how we wanted it to happen. How we wanted to have like a connection to the show. So and all these stories you shared, like in all these behind the scenes things. So it would be really cool to have you back when you could talk maybe more openly and freely about season one, more behind the scenes stories or whatever. But yeah, we can't thank you enough, man. This is beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate listening to you guys when I was, delving into this work, because it's overwhelming how dense it is, and to hear you guys go through it. And the kind of the beauty of it was you didn't know what was going on. You were like, what's this? And you weren't experts. So from a person who's entering the Tolkien community, it can be quite intimidating because everybody's like, well, this is the lore and you don't know the lore enough. But to hear people go through it in and they're figuring it out as they go is much more palatable way to get welcome into the community. So thank you so much for that and for, it was really great listening to you
guys. That's beautiful. We love that. I mean, we love being hobbits. We love being at the kids' table. Because we both encountered, I think, at times fans of whatever, we were into at the time, being those gatekeepers, and gatekeepers can be very helpful, but you're right. Yeah. They can also turn you away from, a fandom. And much like you, like I didn't grow up in New Zealand, right? Even though the statues claim me, which is, I'm still a little, it's fine. I'll take it, but it's not true. But like I had no knowledge. I mean, I knew the books were a thing and I knew it was like a geeky, dorky, nerdy, cool thing, but I had no interaction with the story, and then to be taken off guard by it. And it's funny how this show has felt the same way. It's really made me feel like I'm watching those movies again. I feel swept away into a world, and I mean, you're a part of that. And so it's awesome, dude. So thank you again, Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony, I also want to say too, like I'm so motivated to go to the gym right now. It's just I want to Photoshop like you in there with me and Lane, and we're gonna be lifting some weights, looking over at
Joseph. And just put it on the wall and look into his eyes as you curl weights.
Yeah, just go.
It's so amazing coming after you. We've heard he's such a lovely guy too. Like that's the amazing thing, right? How someone so nice could play someone so that's the acting part, I guess. But we all have those sides in us too, I guess. You know, the dark, the clown, all these different facets to our personality. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Dang, man. I feel like I'm talking to a bro. Like, we just keep going.
Dude, I don't. I actually, like, I'm going to, I was going to see when all of your, like, Austin, like, what you're doing and stuff. I'm like, it's only 2 hours. I mean,
flying. Ed's just flying down with a lot. He's taking a week off. He's going to come see you.
Yeah, I'll just tell the school.
Jelly, bubby.
Peace out,
Jelly.
Guys. All right. Gotta go hit the comedy club. Yeah.
All right, Anthony, could you do a closing for us? Could you tell us, I guess you don't, as far as we know, your character's going to live. So, we usually end with, you probably haven't been to the end of an episode, and I don't blame you, but we say Frodo lives, we said Bilbo knows, now we said Sauron lives. Could you give us one personally for your character?
Anthemo lives.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.